What did you eat this morning?
I had akara and bread.
Wow. Okay, you had akara and bread. Privilege.
I literally woke up and I felt like eating that. I made a video of it, but I didn't post it. I went to like where they were frying it hot.
Yeah.
And I bought 500 naira worth of akara.
Wow.
Where has akara price increased?
It has increased, like, absolutely gone really up.
So akara beans used to increase in price.
Oh my God, are you calling beans like that? Beans is like way super expensive now.
What?
In Nigeria.
Is that like calling beans like that? Like it's gold. Call it with respect.
Call beans with respect. Like honestly, there was even a time, there's like a restaurant, like not really a super fast food, but like a basic restaurant where you can buy things. There was a time they literally had to put an announcement that, oh, from next week we will not have beans available. It's too expensive.
Eh? Damn.
Beans.
Beans that they used to force me to eat.
Beans that was the throwaway stone became the cornerstone.
Do you get? Hi, everyone. It's your host, Matilda.
And your host, Hadiza.
And you're listening to the Afrocalypso podcast. Hi everyone, welcome to another episode. Today we are joined by a special guest, Daniel Adaja. Are we pronouncing that right?
Yes, absolutely.
Is that Yoruba name actually?
No, it's not Yoruba. It's from, my parents are from Kogi State.
No way!
Hadiza is from Kogi as well.
Are you serious? Jesus.
Yes, I'm Ibira.
Wow.
Oh my God, stop! Are you Ibira? Because you said wow,
yes,
which is
I
like...
am. Yes.
No way! Oh my God, I don't like missing my people.
My dad is from Okene.
Okay, that's from Okene. Okay.
Yes.
Can you speak the language?
No, I just that was just the only thing I know. That's the only thing.
Okay. Then you're safe. Oh my God, I don't like meeting other Ibira people that can speak the language.
Why?
Because okay, so my dad is from. Sorry, don't put this on your podcast in case I'm wrong. Okay.
No, I'm leaving. I want your dad to be disappointed.
So I think my dad's from Ihima. I think my mom is from Okene, actually. Like, ooh. my mom is Jato, like from the Jato family. And my dad, I mean, my last name is Idris, so I'm basically Idris. They've wiped out our history.
I really don't know much about. I don't know much about the history. My dad used to try to tell us a lot, but yeah.
Nice.
I paid very little attention.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Lagos my life.
That's why. Yeah. Lagos is so metropolitan that like everyone just melts together and it doesn't matter. But it's still weirdly Yoruba. I don't know how to explain that. Like Yoruba is still like the major
language. Yeah, for sure. Like, even, like, this guy that used to work at my workplace, it's interesting because he's Igbo, right? But then I think just based off the way he spoke, I knew he was from Lagos because his accent was very much, and he's, like, he was very much Yoruba presenting, if that makes
Yoruba
sense.
Yoruba presenting.
Like, he presented as a Yoruba man, and then you now hear his last name, like, oh, this guy's actually Igbo for real. It won't come to your mind like
at
immediately
first,
like
yeah.
or even as you are talking to him, as you're interacting with him, so
so as we were introducing Daniel, I haven't finished. I want to do your accolades. Yes, so Daniel is an OAP, on-air personality at Women FM 91.7. He's an MC, a voiceover artist, and a creative director at Sovo Power Touch Innovation.
We've already welcomed you,
but hello, Daniel. How are you doing?
I'm very well. Thank you for having me. I'm really humbled with this opportunity.
Nice. Hey, so we've been asking all our guests this season how the pandemic has been for them. How has it been for you?
It's a whole different experience. I think I experienced a different form of depression during the pandemic.
Why? I love how you said a different form.
Because I was on the radio all through the pandemic. And that was because when the radio streamlined, because of like everybody couldn't be at work, I was one of the on-air personalities that was, you know, put into a space to say, okay, radio has to go on. We need your services while, you know, the whole pandemic was on. So I was on the radio 6 a.m. to 12 every day throughout the pandemic.
And that's like longer than you usually would be?
Yes. that is longer. Normally I'll be on the radio from 5 a.m. to 10 in the morning, and that's all. Right? So when the pandemic started, that went on from 6 a.m. to 12, and it was all talk and music. And when I realized that I had hit a different kind of emotional breakdown was when I was rolling out the numbers of persons that have died from COVID, and I didn't feel an inch.
Oh, wow.
I just read it out, and I read it out like, you know, it was numbers. And it was when I got home that day, I just sat down and I was trying to like reminisce on something, and then the numbers clicked in my head again, and there was no emotion attached to the numbers of the persons that have died. And I was like, okay, there's a problem here. This doesn't feel right. Why do I feel so detached from recognizing that these numbers are not just figures, but are human beings
that
have actually died? So I called the life coach and I said, I'm experiencing this kind of feeling. I'm in the same space every single day, Monday to Sunday, not going anywhere. Then I realized that, okay, this could probably be depression. And I have not figured that out. So for me, that was one thing I had to learn how to break out from. Because I didn't want to get detached from the fact that it was numbers. And because being a radio host, we are like gatekeepers.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, we control what people would listen to. So at some point, I had to literally tell my boss that, can I stop rolling out these numbers in the morning or anytime on my show? And they're like, no, you can't stop. Then I said, okay, would you mind if I tell somebody else to do it? Because it was affecting how I was relating to people. I wasn't connecting with people that were around me anymore. I was just I was seeing people, I was talking to people, but I wasn't connecting with them. So that was my major experience.
What do you think caused that? Is it specifically because you were going to work? Like you were just like work throughout? Or do you think it's just the general trauma that we saw like every single day? And because you were on air, you were reporting this over and over and over.
So first, I think the fact that I was not really like an outgoing person, I was always indoor. It didn't make me realize it on time because I always like kept to myself. But I didn't really have a very large circle of people that I communicate with all the time. But just the few I had, I tried to cherish it. It was when I paid attention to the numbers that I realized that I have dissociated from even the people that I think I was close to. And that was it for me. So I had lost touch with the world. It was basically just work.
Wow.
Interesting.
Are you talking to someone now? Sorry, not to make this a therapy session or anything.
yes, I am. Yes, I have been. I think I'm past it already. Yes.
Okay.
Because I tried to deal with it like almost immediately.
It's important to like notice it first.
Be able to recognize it.
Yeah. Because that's the only time you'll get help. It's just crazy hearing the different accounts from this pandemic, honestly. I feel like every single person had somewhat of a different experience. I've heard like a range, but it's definitely in ways that like people sometimes can't explain. It's changed everyone, but sometimes it feels like it might not have, but I honestly feel like it really has. Yeah. Okay, we're delving into Daniel's journey as an OAP. But I guess my first question really is like, what is an OAP and like, what does that entail? To be honest, I've heard this thrown around over and over again. I don't even really know.
So it's called an on-air personality.
Yeah.
That's what it means. And it means that you are an individual, you're a personality that can be accessed online. So whether it's through the internet, radio, social media and all. But I think right now I want to identify more as a radio personality.
So I thought that on air just specifically referred to radio. Does it not?
But you know, it doesn't only refer to radio.
You are on air personality.
So that means you are an OAP.
You're OAPs because your content is available online and people can access it.
Interesting.
You guys, from here forward, refer to
put
me as
OAP
an OAP.
Your LinkedIn.
Yeah, I'm going to put it. I'll put it there.
So, but you can be more specific to say you're a podcast personality. Like I want to identify as a radio personality. Somebody can say you're a TV personality. But or if you do like both TV, radio, social media, Instagram. Some people are social media personalities. They're Instagram personalities. They're YouTube personalities. So if you do all of them all together, online personalities.
Is there a reason then in Nigeria that we refer to, like when we say OAP, I think we specifically mean radio OAP.
I'm not really sure how that came out to be, but I think it's just maybe the wave that came around that time. I think I met it. I don't think it was existing after I joined the industry. I met it in the, and that's because, you know, on radio, there's this signal that shows on air. Even in major TV stations, you'd see it if you go to their live broadcast place, you see on air and off air. So there is like a green light that shows on air and a red light that shows off air.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. I guess you were talking about when you joined the industry, like when and like what made you join.
Okay, so first, let me take you guys a little back. I graduated secondary school in 2011, and within that time, I had to stay at home for 1 year as jam me, and then and then I took jam again, and I didn't get the cutoff mark. And then I had to just go to school. I just wanted to leave the house. So I applied to Federal University of Agriculture, Abeokuta, to go read soil science and land management. And I got the course, which I was very grateful for. Mm-hmm. And then when I got into school, I wasn't really sure of what I was doing in school, actually. I just knew that I wanted to be away from home, which was the goal. And I got into the university, thank God. So in my 100 level, I was just talking one day with some new friends that I had made. And one of them was like, oh, there's a radio station that the school is trying to open. I heard someone talk about it in my compound. I think I'll find out for you and then maybe you can go check it out. And I was like, cool, I'll go do that. And before then, I'd always listened to the radio. Radio was like my coolest pal at home because, like I said, I wasn't the going out child. I was always indoor. And we had like a very good stereo at home. So it was radio
24. Is there a reason for that? Is there a reason you didn't go out much?
My parents were very, very much very conservative people. My parents are pastors. So
we moved. Is that why you wanted to just leave?
It's one of the reasons why I wanted to leave, obviously. So we moved to a new area and it wasn't very well developed at that time. So you can't really say you're going out to visit anybody or play with friends and all of that. So it was a developing area and we were like the only house on that street for like 2 years. So the only thing we had was your television and your radio. And the TV, my dad warned us that every time you want to switch the generator, make sure you turn off every appliance before you switch. So that day we didn't listen. We switched, the TV got blown up.
Ew.
The only thing we had left was the radio in the house. So everybody started listening to radio. And I think that was the first time I had that connection with the radio. It was like 2009. That was the first time that experience happened. And I just started listening to the radio more often, not for educational purpose, just for the fun of it. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed the music that was played on it and all of that. So fast forward back to my guy in school that told me about the radio. And he came back and told me, oh yeah, the radio is at this place in the Senate building of the school. So I went there and I walked into the studio and it was very big, the old type of studio where the microphones are in one side and the console or the mixer is on the other side. I don't know, have you seen that kind of studio before?
How do they control things then?
So the microphones are in one side and you see a glass where the engineer is sitting
behind. So it's a different person. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's a different person controlling the console or the mixer for you while your job is just to talk.
To just talk.
And then they can see you through the glass.
Traditional studios
Yeah, that was
TV.
What they had. This was 2013. This was what they had in my school then.
Okay.
And I got in there, I told this director that I wanted to talk on radio and all of these things, that I wanted to know what's the process to be involved. And then I met like two people also there and then they were like, come in. And then they said, go and say something. And I couldn't say a word. I just kept looking at them like, I don't know what to say. And I almost peed in my pants. And I was like, yeah.
They didn't tell you what to say. They just said talk.
They just told me come in. And I was like, can you do this? And I said, yes, I can do it. You know, being very enthusiastic and all of that. And therefore I knew it, I was sweating and all of that. And then I remember leaving that place that first day. And I was like, I didn't like how I felt, but I know I wanted to be here. Like, I didn't do anything nice. I didn't impress them or anything, but something deep down inside of me just wanted to be there. I just felt like I should be here. So they allowed me to just show up every day. So every time I was done with class, I would go there and just sit down and look whether there was something going on or not. If they wanted me to help them get something, I would do that. So we're done with first semester and second semester in school. And then there was this long ASU strike. And then my friend in school then was like, okay, why don't you go and intern at the radio station? So I went to intern at Lagos Traffic Radio for 6 months. And that was the ASU strike was for 6 months.
Damn.
Yes. Astro Strike was for 6 months. So I was in Lagos Traffic Radio for 6 months, and that was where I got my grip. I learned how to record, do voiceovers, know how to talk on radio. And that literally started my journey and built my confidence level. By 2016, I met someone else who was like, oh, seems you can talk. Then I started emceeing already. Started, you know, going around hosting shows and events in school because my confidence level was up already.
How does that translate though? Because like you also said that you were like, I don't know if you said you were an introvert, but you kind of said you're to yourself.
I was just about to ask that.
Yeah.
I did.
So how did you
I felt comfortable behind the microphone. I felt like that was like the only place that I was able to express myself. After I dropped the microphone, I'm back into my shell. And I think it affected like my whole journey because I was, after the microphone, I wanted to always just squeeze back into the shell. I wasn't socializing. I wasn't interacting with people. And I wasn't doing that, you know. I was just trying to look for an opportunity. If I see an opportunity to talk, I'll go there, do it. And I'm done. I go back into hiding. And I wasn't letting anybody really see me like that. But a lot of people were thinking, oh, because he was on stage, he's the extrovert, you know, he's everywhere. Mm-hmm. Because along the way, when I got a radio show at Ogun Radio in 2016, I met someone who introduced me into hyping at the club.
No, you were hype man.
Don't even kill me.
You know those were Small Yas, they shake.
Yeah, you know.
Isn't that what the DJ usually does? I thought the DJ usually also is the hype man.
One for the DJ, one for the hype man.
They're called hype man. So that's I picked up that along the way, and I think I was good at it.
How does one do this as an introvert? I don't get it. It calls for a certain personality that's weird.
Yeah, you know, and doing all of these things, I wasn't showing it off. At the point when they needed me to do it, I put on like
persona.
I wear the cloth. Yeah, I wear it and I do it. And when I'm done, I'm just quiet.
Do you ever feel exhausted after that?
Yes, I do.
Okay, can you wear the dress now? I'm going to sing a song. Please help me do hype man. Shake that the miss. Can I shake? Oh yeah, Daniel.
Come on. Where the ladies at? Shake that thing.
I'm actually dying. Okay, yeah, it's definitely a persona you can put on then. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, you can put it on. You can put it on, and that built me like that. 2017 to 2020 to 2018, I was schooling and doing radio, and I was also doing MCs for events, and I was also hyping at the club. By 2018, I got done with school, and I just told myself, you know what? I think I need to leave this environment. I wasn't feeling myself anymore. I felt like I was missing something. Mm. So I packed everything I had in school then, and I went back home to my parents' house in Lagos.
Mm.
And then a friend just said, hi, what's up? There is an opening at Women Radio for a producer. Would you want to apply? I was like, why not? I'm not doing anything at home. I'd apply. And I just went in and applied. And then 2018 to date, I'm here at Women Radio.
Well, so you never actually applied for anything in the course that you, the program you studied?
No, I haven't even picked up the certificate.
you didn't want it. You just wanted to leave home, as you said.
But I think I'll go pick it up soon. I will try to go pick it up soon before the end of the year.
Okay. Is that usually the route for a lot of OAPs? Like you just have to find an internship, like work in radio a bit and et cetera?
Well, I don't think it is. I don't think it is a part for everyone. But I know that you would have to, you know, go through the process. You have to find yourself in that space. And, you know, podcasting has made things easy now. It wasn't like before where it was just for you to be on radio. You have to go to a radio station. You have to intern, be a studio rat, find your way in one way or the other.
Okay, so like people with podcast experience translate it to radio?
Yes, I think it can work that way now. But it's a lot different. Like I said it on someone when I was speaking to a group of young people. I said, if you're doing podcasts right now, try to take some online courses on what radio is like, because podcast is very, very free. There are no boundaries, there are no rules, no regulations to what you can really say or what you should not say. But on radio, there are rules on what you can say and what you cannot say on radio. So if you are doing podcasts right now, I think first thing one of the things you have already done is to establish that you have a confidence level. But if you go into a radio station, you would feel different. You would feel different. The energy would feel different when you're inside of a radio station. So your confidence level might be a little bit shaky. Unless if on your podcast you have not been putting out content, you have not been doing research, that's when you go to a radio and you would fumble. But I think if you've been doing podcasts and you've been doing content-based podcasts, not just chit-chat, but like content-based podcasts, you can be able to transit into radio and pick up a show that is similar to what you were doing on your podcast.
Hadiza, are you thinking of being an OFA?
You asked me, Hadiza, as if you imagine that you're the one that is passionate about going back to Nigeria to work in a radio house. Or when, you were passionate when? About that.
Okay, there was a point in time. I think Daniel was talking about it. I think there was like a kind of like boom or something for like OAPs or something like that.
Like when they had like a big break?
Yeah, I feel like there was a point in time where a lot of people, it seemed, were moving back to Nigeria or becoming OAPs. It was
like I think if you are what they call those people who are IJGB, I don't know.
I just
if,
got back.
Like, yeah,
it was a thing before. It was actually a thing before.
Yeah. So what's changed though?
What changed? I'm not exactly sure what changed. I think it's still in existence, sort of. But I think we just started owning our thing, ourselves. We started owning our voice. We started owning our own content. So take, for example, I don't know. Can I mention radio station's name?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So like Wazobia FM came on board, for example.
Oh, that's my mom's favorite.
They wanted to just listen. They wanted raw people, people who could speak the language of the people. Right? And people who could relate with people, not people who were just like, I just got back, how you doing? Good morning. They wanted people that would say,
there's
good
no
morning,
need for
no.
this.
As I did come work this morning, everywhere just bloody, everywhere dirty, the road no good. People that could relate with people more. Because it looked like when radio was doing the whole, I just got back people, it was fun, it was cool, it sounded interesting. But when people understood that, people would only connect to people they can understand. And that's why Yoruba radio stations are still going to be top sellers till forever.
I've heard this thing, though. I've actually heard this, but it's weird. I've never listened to any Yoruba radio station.
If you are a Yoruba person, for example, like one of the biggest newspaper review in Lagos or in Southwest, for example, is Kokoninu Iweroyin. That's what it's called. I'm not sure I pronounced it rightly.
Okay.
It means it's a Yoruba newspaper review. It's very early in the morning, I think around 6 a.m. But every Yoruba speaking person who has a radio listens to that show. Because if you hear the way they say it, it's very dramatic, very relatable. You would connect with it. So what changed was people just wanted to connect with other people when they listen to the radio. The host wants to connect with the listener when he's talking. Mm-hmm. And even if you're speaking English or you're speaking British English or whatever accent you have, the idea right now is to ensure that somebody is benefiting from that conversation.
So it's like, I guess back then it was about people were focusing on, oh, you have accents, Yakob.
Yes.
But now they realize that it's not just by accents kind of thing.
Yeah. Yes. But good English is good too. You know, you speak well, it's very, very, it's a good selling point if you speak well.
How do you guys do this thing? Because, okay, with podcasting, I feel like for me, the allure is the fact that at least it's not live, so you can edit. If your brain touches for 1 second, you can still catch yourself and stuff like that. But how do you do that live? Like, not make any mistakes, like all these like sentence fillers and stuff like that. How do you even practice that away?
I think it's just based on content. So because it's radio and it's live, you need to understand that you need to have like all your content ready. I remember when I got handed over a 3-hour show and I was like, how am I going to do a 3-hour show on radio and not bluff? The man was like, you know what? You have to put the whole thing into programs. You have to write down everything you want to say. And I remember back then, I didn't have like a very good phone. So I used to go and borrow someone's phone to browse. So I would Google and write out every single thing I was going to talk about on the radio.
So talking points or like an actual script?
Script, like an actual script. I've scripted everything down. So I know that in 3 hours, I'm talking at least a minimum of an hour, 30 minutes with music played in between and adverts and all of that. So because it was a music show, it was called Niger Vibes then in OGBC. Mm-hmm. And so I was doing top 10 countdown. I was doing artist profiling of the week. And then there was an interactive part where people could call in and request for the songs they wanted to listen to. And then I pick like 5 other artists and 5 other songs, talk about new songs of the week, see if they're topping charts or something. Because it was radio then, I could script everything. I had to script everything down. So that way I'm not running out of content. And the thing, the same thing with podcasts. The moment you start talking, there's this vibe that comes inside of you. You can't run out of content.
I hear you, but we definitely don't script everything. And I actually didn't think it was all scripted, because there's a natural way they also say it. Like, I guess, like when you're a voiceover actor, like when you're voice acting, I think there's a way you sound that everyone knows is scripted. But how do you sound like supernatural?
Or do you even script every show or every time you go on it?
So right now, I don't script any. I don't think I have had to.
You say I'm an OG in the streets now.
No, I'm not yet an OG, but right now I don't really script anything like that again. But when I just started, I used to script a lot of things. I think you get better with time, as long as you keep practicing and you keep doing it, and you just want to be better. I tried to recently, I think it was during the pandemic, I started, you know, not doing this whole scripting thing like I used to before. I started listening to Charlemagne the God of the Breakfast Club. I don't know if you've heard of him.
Did you of course. We're podcasters.
Charlemagne the God of the Breakfast Club. And when I found out their YouTube channel, I started listening to those guys. I was like, Pito, this guy just had an interview for 1 hour, 30 minutes. And I didn't see a paper in front of him. It was just, where were these questions coming from? So definitely it came from the fact that he's well-read. He had done a lot of research work, and it was an interview that he wanted to share. I listened to, I think it was Maths and Magic, where he was being interviewed, and he said something. He says, the end goal of me when I talk to somebody is to ensure that they are learning while I'm also learning within that interview. So I was like, huh, okay. So it seems my shows were more of that kind of thing. I wanted to make sure too that while I am trying to talk to somebody, or I'm talking to a guest or an analyst, or I'm doing a solo conversation, that the person calling in is learning from what I'm saying, and I'm also learning from them also.
That's pretty cool. Not solo conversations for me though. You're just talking to yourself. That's crazy.
I do a 6 a.m. show that is solo conversation in the morning.
How long?
It's about 45 minutes.
Is it one of those ones that like people call in?
Yes, but I have to just drive the conversation first for a while. And it's not every time people would call in. It depends on if they... Because at the end of the day, I try to put my shows in a way that it's not about phone calls. It's just, I try to make sure that even if you don't call the show, you're listening, you can learn something. When you call, it's because there's something I said that triggered you enough to pick up your phone. You say, no, I need to make a point to this guy.
It's really a skill. I'll give you that. It's a skill. Damn.
It's like on the topic of you kind of learning from whoever you have on and them learning as well. Is there any show or any, not show, shift? Let me call it a shift. Any shift you've had that really stood out to you? Like you really learned something, like your eye really opened kind of thing.
So at the beginning of this year, I picked up, I wanted to make sure that I did a lot of conversations on mental health. Right. So I started doing a lot of talks on mental health. And I think one I remember specifically right now was I had a life coach on my show, and I can't remember exactly what the topic was, but it was around knowing how to understand your self-worth beyond just the work or how much you earn. And it was how the person said that really made sense to me. And I think she said that it was not about whether you're working or you earn so much. You should understand that being alive, you're worthy of something. And that really hit deep. What I learned from every conversation that I talk with anybody, I try to broaden what I already know when I hear people talk. Even if, for example, let's assume that I'm asking the guest a question that I think I have similar answer that they would give. I'd like to listen to how they say it, because it would not be the way I would say it. So I learn how to also answer that question the way they answer it and add it to what I already know. So by the time I'm answering that same question, I have a more robust answer.
Answer to it, yeah. Oh, wow, the job honestly sounds exciting.
It is exciting.
let's talk about the behind the scenes. Let's not glamorize it. Like what really goes into like planning, and like you mentioned, like there's studios now where you're actually controlling the mixer and everything, right?
Yes.
As you are on air.
Yes.
Why did that change? Like what skills are you meant to have really as an OAP? Oh.
Okay, first you must be a computer literate. Very important. You must know how to read and write. I believe that's important. So. You must know how to read and write, and you must know how to use a computer, because everything right now is in the digital world, right? It used to be a lot analog before, but now we're more in a digital space where, you know, radio stations are shrinking responsibilities. So the person who is the anchor on the radio, the presenter, is also the studio manager at the same time. They're the same person that is supposed to play the, select the songs, that they're also the music librarian at the same time while they are on air. So there are more responsibilities coupled to one person than it was in the past.
Yeah.
If you go back to, let me just make reference to radio before 2000, right?
Yeah.
Your job as, they didn't even used to call them OAPs, they called them anchors or broadcasters, right? So all they had to do was sit down in front of the microphone, and then somebody who is a producer is going to write everything that they're supposed to say and give it to them, right? Like from time check, the news and all of that. And then there was somebody else that was controlling the microphone for them to say, oh, now you can go on air. Now you are no more on air.
Now there's
somebody else
everything.
That shuffles the music that plays on the radio back then, right?
Yeah.
But now in the digital world here where we find ourselves, when you sit down on the console as the radio host, they expect that you should know what type of song should be played on your show, on your shift. What kind of conversations you should have. Definitely they are still producers because they have to guide the direction of what is being said on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of responsibility is on you to be able to...
You also become like a mini producer. In your
yes,
own,
a mini
like-
producer to the show itself as, mm-hmm. as it is. So it's a lot more work,
yeah.
but it is... It is also more flexible in my own opinion, I think it's more flexible that you can control the things yourself. You know when to put your feet out. No, there was a time, there was this thing that was going on Instagram. I don't know if you saw it, where they said radio people would like put the music up, talk a little, bring the music down, talk a little, put the music up, talk a little.
I saw one on Yoruba radio stations where they'll be like,
yeah.
I think it was Oli Lekwem. What's his name?
Wait,
never
I don't
mind,
understand.
Go ahead.
Like as in they talk and then
they'll be like, good morning, increase the,
good morning,
the volume,
put the music
put
up,
it back down, bring how's everyone down. Doing increase the
they
volume
what?
The,
so even if you want to enjoy the music, you can't enjoy the music because they are talking over the music and they're bringing down, and you now be like, I better leave the song, make the song play finish now. So but that also comes from a place of flexibility now, because that person sitting in
front
of the console,
they're also controlling the music.
They are also the ones controlling the music, so they can do that, right?
Mistake.
So it works that way. So it's more flexible. I think it's more connecting than before. There's a lot more connection with people than it was in the past.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that thing, the thing of you holding many, many roles at like a station is, so I listened to this podcast. It's called The Mics Are Open. It's a Kenyan podcast. But the hosts on there are also radio personalities in Kenya. And this guy said he was taking a course, and it's like, it's an international course pretty much. So he's taking this course with like multiple people around the world. And he realized like how many hats he puts on at the station that he's at. And it's not really that way every other place in the world. So I wonder, is that an African thing where they expect you to do multiple things?
Multiple things.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if it's an African thing, but I think that it is also good if somebody who is a radio host can also produce their own shows, can also multitask. But definitely some employers in media houses are abusing it. They are definitely abusing it. But it is very important that you are able to do multiple things at the same time as an individual, and let your job description be clearly stated to you. What is your job description? So you know what you're taking on while you are going into that job. And if you feel like, you know, you can't deal with it, you have to maybe make readjustment, or tell them you want a change of your job description, or you want a raise in salary. But, you know, here in Nigeria, a lot of employers abuse this opportunity where a lot of young people want to come on radio. They are so passionate.
I don't think it's just radio. I think generally people would advertise a job for something and they will stretch your role. Like you would literally do everything that is not that was not in your like advertisement for your job. So yeah, I think it's generally a Nigerian thing. But yeah, sorry, go ahead.
So I'm not sure it's a Nigerian thing. I think it's everywhere. I don't know about other parts of the world or where you guys are, but
there's labor laws though, right? Everywhere else.
Ah, labor laws.
the
oh
way
my
you
God,
said
labor
it.
Laws.
You said what's that?
He said that's a distant dream.
The fact is, in Nigeria, there are so many private organizations who are creating their own rules and regulations, mm-hmm. right? I've seen a private organization before that says, are you working for the government? What are you taking public holiday for? Who employed you? Is it the government that employed you? I employed you, and I'm telling you, there is no public holiday here.
I'm sorry. So,
yeah.
I've seen
a company. so you're wondering why, you know, how that person is able to make their own laws and their own rules, because they pay. Jesus. So he who pays the piper dictates the tune, right?
Hmm.
So it's honestly a thing of, a lot of people are beginning to understand that you have to state the rules clearly. But I also think employers need to be open about what they want people to do and how much exactly they are willing to pay. So it's not a question of, I'm paying you and you're not working, or you want to keep working here, you have to do all these things. It has to come from a place where they understand that there has to be empathy in that conversation, which a lot of employers don't always do.
Mm-hmm. But does it look like a lot of long hours as well, like being an OAP, and like, do you guys get paid well? What your bag now? That's a very relative
question.
No, your own bag.
So do owner personalities get paid well? It differs.
Okay.
It differs from one media house to the other.
I guess on average then.
On an average. I can't really say on an average, because I've heard what some other owner personalities are getting. And I'm like, are you serious? like
so low or so high?
It's so low. And I've heard someone be like, are you kidding me? You earn that much? And you talk less? And then I'm like,
you talk less?
Yeah. You know, I've seen OAPs that are just on air like 3 hours in a day. And I'm hearing the salary they are collecting, like six-figure salary. And I'm like, what? But I'm like, they didn't get there in one day, right? They've been doing this for a long time too. Mm. So I'm also weighing that in. I think radio somehow still follows this organogram of years of experience,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, if you're being it today for 10 years, you can earn this amount of money. If you need,
like,
for
this guy that's into politics now, that was an on-air personality for Cool FM, the light-skinned dude.
Daddy Freeze, he's into politics.
I think so. He was like what's it called? Those people who, a freedom fighter.
I know he's freedom fighter.
Sorry. Yeah, so that's why it's still politics now. Sorry. Not to derail the conversation. It just came to my mind because he has a lot of years of experience, and I'd imagine someone like him, they would pay him a lot more because he has clout.
Of course.
So it's not even just years, it's also clout.
Like, because,
well,
I mean,
think
I'd
years
imagine
matters. Clout is important sometimes, mm-hmm. because if you work in like a government radio station, you are literally a civil servant. You're a civil servant. You would only get raise in your pay when you go. You climb from one level to the other level, 7, 8, 9. The more levels you climb, the higher your pay. Or the more qualifications you have, the higher your pay. But for radio hosts who are in private media houses, sometimes the level of publicity that you can generate for yourself can also affect your earning power.
Positively or negatively?
Positively. Okay, if you blow up positively as a radio host, someone like Tools, for example, I think that's the beat. Yes.
Yeah,
Tools, Bemi, those are really big names. Manny, those are big names. Such individuals right now, they can't be poaching them and be talking change. You have to be talking six figures upward if you want to poach such individuals. But if you're still, you know, gradually building yourself and exposing yourself to the opportunities that are around you, you would still be, you'd be on a negotiation table where, you know, you'd be going back and forth too many times.
So in terms of hiring, if someone had bad publicity, for example, but it's still publicity at the end of the day, do they consider that when they're bringing someone on? Okay, say for example, let's say like there's someone, just he's public, like he's an on-air personality, but he has kind of a bad reputation in the sense that he says kind of very, like he's like Charlemagne, but in Nigeria. He says very problematic
stuff. There's
nobody
like Charlemagne in Nigeria.
Eh?
There's nobody like Charlemagne.
Crazy.
Anybody that attempts to be like Charlemagne in Nigeria has to have very good backup. Oh, no, there is somebody. I don't remember her name now, but she's, I think, with Nigerian Info. She's very, very brutal. Very vocal.
Yeah.
Very brutal. And what's her name? don't remember her name, but she's, I listen to her a lot, and I think she's very, very sound. If she's given the right backing, she can be brutal and hold people by their wig and throw them up left, right, and center.
But, so do you radio houses like people, personalities like that? That's my question, in Nigeria.
Exactly, because you mentioned that there's things that you can't say. So what determines that?
Of course, there are things that you can't say because of the media is highly regulated in the country.
Government-wise.
Yes, the media is highly regulated.
But even sponsors, also, like you guys have sponsors, so there's stuff you can't say too, right?
Okay, like in Nigeria, for example, now, there are media houses that are owned by politicians.
Yeah?
Yes, there are some media houses in the country that are owned by politicians. AIT, as big as it is, Raymond Dokpesi, TVC is owned by a politician. There are a couple of other media houses.
So really, just propaganda, sure.
So at the end of the day, you see, a particular media house that is saying stuff about the government, and then they are saying it from a point just to make that government look bad. And they might not be lying with their facts. Their facts might be correct, but they're putting out that agenda and saying, oh, this is what the government is about. So, but, and then in Nigeria, radio hosts are not allowed to take sides. You can't take sides. You can't.
In politics?
You can't weigh in your. Yes, you can't take sides. You can't weigh in on your opinion so strongly that
But then, what's the line between if something bad is happening in Lagos? Can I say this thing that's happening in Lagos is bad and we need the Lagos government to fix it? Can you say something?
Yes,
like
I can.
That?
Yes, you can. You can say that. I think there was a recent memo that was passed around to radio media houses from. I think it was from the NBC or from Buhari. I'm not sure we put that memo out on, how we report cases of insecurity and how we are supposed to say. They wanted us to streamline and saying we should stop saying hi, this rise in insecurity in the country. You know, they put like a barricade on things on like Boko Haram, headsmen, farmers, headers clash. You know, they put you on a place where you have to always play it safe with what you're saying. You can't come out and say, yo, this is what happened exactly. Like, farmers, herders are destroying farms, and you can't come on radio and say it like that because they think you'll be hitting up the polity if you come out like that on radio.
Or maybe you are just reporting the truth. I don't know.
Do the laws extend to podcasting in Nigeria?
No, it doesn't extend to podcasting yet.
Okay. Why do you say yet? I don't think so. I don't think they can regulate that. How would they regulate that even?
I'm not sure exactly how they want to, but if they could go as far as, putting a very huge slam on Twitter, I don't think the government would not go at any length to.
I don't think they've discovered podcasts yet.
Yeah, podcasts just need to grow first.
Honestly, that's the thing. I don't think that the politicians really understand podcasting yet. But
let's keep podcasts as an underground thing for a while.
Okay. Sure. I think MTN is trying to go into the podcast space as well, but we'll see.
I'm not sure how they would do it, but I think it would work. I think podcast is becoming more closer to people, especially for millennials right now. And
because they're able to say things, right? Yeah.
Yeah, they're able to say the things they want to say. They can listen at their own convenience. They're in traffic. They can just plug in their earphones or AirPods.
Yeah. And like re-download it when you're at home and stuff like that.
Re-download or, we're getting more. I think one of the major challenges, I think, for podcasters in Nigeria is still data.
Exactly. Data is expensive.
I think it's still a major challenge. Data is expensive in Nigeria, for example. So if there is more access to data, a lot more people would stream more. People who have YouTube accounts in Nigeria would get more views. And people would listen a lot more to podcasts if there was access to data. Netflix would make a lot more money if access to data was cheaper. You know, because at the end of the day, why are people going to all these other back-end sites to download movies? It's because data is expensive. Why would I pay 4,000 naira on Netflix and still buy data to watch and or download it?
When I could just download it once and
when
for
I can just
all.
Go
you know what is
ready
in Nigeria is a flash drive.
Oh my God.
Remember transferring movies?
Do you remember? Okay, I remember there was a time I don't remember what happened. I think I was telling someone that I really wanted to have a certain set of movies on my computer. computer, and I think it was probably one of my aunties, like somebody that I know, family friend, and I think she wanted to treat me, so she took me to this place, and this guy, I think she paid the guy to actually download the movies in my computer. Like, I remember, wow. And like, and
no,
I was
there's,
like,
there's services like that though. Business. Yeah, there's a lot of. I think if you go to Computer Village, you'll probably see a lot of things like that.
No, I don't think people still do that again.
Really?
There's so many sites now where you can download movies.
No, you're laughing, but I don't even want to snitch. Somebody in my family, the last time I went back home or something, she said she has, especially on these Korean shows, she had them downloaded on her computer, and she said she got it from a flash drive. So I don't know. Like, there's
this flash drive.
Yeah. Or like hard drive, like someone transferred.
Somebody
it to
had
her.
Downloaded yeah. it and, yeah. and kept it, and yeah. then started sharing it for people.
Be aware, virus is real. You should preach about virus awareness.
Perhaps just get antivirus, but yeah, data is definitely very expensive in Nigeria. Yes. So we're like, you know, everybody can just own a radio in their house. It doesn't require internet or anything. When you're in your car, the radio would be on and stuff like that. Podcasts are a little more, I guess, expensive to consume. So, yeah.
It's sort of expensive kind of to consume. Radio would be here for a long time. And
yes.
I think one of the fears before was because they felt like when digitalization happened, radio was going to go into extinction. But I'm not sure it will ever will. I think
really?
It will just be here.
Ever?
I think it will be here. I don't think it will ever go into extinction. It would be here for
I also
forever.
Don't think so. Because I think everybody, like, even in rural settings, people really enjoy radio. And, like, I don't see a reality where radio goes out. Because I think it's just, I don't know how to explain.
But it might not go out, but it can become, like, less important than it is right now.
I disagree.
You don't
even here, there are a lot of people who listen to radio here. Like, a lot of people, right? It's still, I don't know how it's going to fare maybe by the time our generation is in our 60s and 70s and 80s. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But then before we get to that point, I still think radio still has at least 50 years. I think so, personally.
In Lagos, radio stations are, like, new radio stations are emerging every month. At least there is one or two new radio stations. People are still, the federal government just released license to over 150 radio stations across Nigeria, radio and TV stations across Nigeria and TV across Nigeria. So
Where is the money coming from? Is this adverts?
A lot of the times, yes, ads are the major source of finance for a lot of media houses.
Government officials.
No, like, a lot of brands still do, like, ground public radio gives, like, a very huge audience.
It does. Yes.
My
but
radio
I'm
show
like, are there that many brands to radio shows? Does that make sense? Like, if there's so many,
well,
coming,
it depends
up
on what the radio is opening for. There are organizations that right now are releasing funding for different specific things across different things. Now, okay, let me use Women Radio for example. There are individuals or brands that what they want to do is to put funds behind a radio show that is focusing, okay, we focus on women, but there are brands that, okay, we want you to talk about women's health, we want to, okay, finance it for you guys, and we want to ensure that that program is always on because we like it. It's getting to the grassroots. Radio gets to the grassroots, gets to people that might not even have a telephone.
Yes, 100%.
You know, so people would are just using, like, just those small phones without
touch
internet,
light and radio,
touch light phone. Yeah,
and I get
they can listen.
That population is a lot in Nigeria.
It's a lot. Like, if you're in your car, you hear people listen commercial vehicles. I've heard people that, you know, that just call me up and, like, oh, I was in this Keke Napep and the Napep guy was playing your radio station. I heard your voice. And then you're wondering how many people are going to enter that Napep the whole day. The guy's going to be carrying different trips. People are going to enter into the Napep at different times during different programs. And they would pick something, hear something like that. And it keeps going like that.
I guess what might happen is just, like, radio. And I don't know how this really works, especially because at the end of the day, they'll still regulate what you say by. I see, like, a lot of radio stations, like, incorporating podcasts onto it. Like, there'll be a specific time where they'll play podcast episodes
and
stuff.
It's already happening.
Yeah, it's already happening, but it's just, I don't know how that works, because I thought, anyways, the allure of podcasts was the fact that you could say pretty much anything. But then if you're now bringing it to a radio station,
I think what is already happening in radio is looking for ways, like the conversation we're having here right now, I'm not sure we have used any foul language. If it's going to go on radio, all they need to do is to clean it up properly and listen and make sure there's no foul language, and it plays.
I see. That's fair.
And a lot of interviews right now are pre-recorded, and which is almost like podcasts. If you pre-record something, like what we're doing right now, is also podcast too. So some radio shows right now are recorded and then they're just played on air. The only thing is it's on a radio platform.
That's fair. I guess you were briefly like talking about the fact that you work on a women's station, and that really, really, really intrigued my, like that caught my attention. Like Nigeria is such a big patriarchy. So like when you, a man, says you're working on a women's station, I'm curious, like, you know, what exactly...
Okay. What kind of responses are you getting?
Yeah, what responses are you getting?
Am I getting? Okay, so I think when I first got here in August 2018, I didn't even... The awareness did not dawn on me that I was working at a women's radio. I just wanted to work because I wanted to leave school environment and come to Lagos.
And you didn't want to do soil science, but go ahead.
No. I didn't want to do that. So I now... Like, okay, just got in here. And I didn't go on air immediately. When I got here, I was a producer for like 3 months before I got a shot at being on the radio here.
Yeah, I did want to ask that because you said you got a job as a producer. I was like...
As a producer, okay. Yes. So when I got here and I just started producing content, I wasn't really producing, when I got here, female-centric content yet. I was producing an SME match show. I was doing like a traffic show. I was doing a game show. So they were not, quote unquote, requiring me to weigh in on opinions that are female centric when I got here. But with time, I evolved and I learned. I had always believed in gender equality even before I got here, but I didn't even know the terminology.
That's what a lot of Nigerian men say, Loki.
No, so this is it, right?
Yes, I'm a feminist.
No. I'm not going to say I was a feminist before I got here, but I weighed in on opinions that what a man can do, oh, she should be able to do it. I had a team already in school, which it was gender sensitive, and I didn't even know it was gender sensitive, right? I just gave opportunities to those I believe, you know, deserved the opportunities. Wasn't about if it was a man or a woman, but getting to women radio and working at women radio has opened my eyes to a lot more things than some of them I didn't even know at all till I got here. I'm learning new terms for new words. I'm paying attention to, you know, reactions of events now more than ever before. When I'm in a place, I'm seeing things now, I can boldly come out and say, oh, this is wrong, this is right. But before, I might just have been in my shell and just watched and observed without saying anything. And it's been quite a journey, you know, working at women's radio, because when you go out there and you're like, oh, I'm an honor personality, where? Women radio. So when you say WFM, they might not really get it. I have to always say, I work at Women Radio. I'm the host of the Full Breakfast on Women Radio. And they're like, oh, really? Okay. And they're like, what do you guys talk about? And I explain to them that this is what we talk about. These are the agendas we fight for. These are the things we're trying to raise the voices of women.
So why are you in women's business? Sorry, go ahead.
Why am I in women's business?
No, I'm saying, do you ever get that question?
I'm not sure I've really gotten that question per se, really? But I have had to like explain to men what we do here at Women Radio. Yeah.
Okay. Is that seen as like mansplaining?
I think mansplaining is when you're over explaining someone to the
female
gender.
But then, I mean, if you're talking about women's issues, do you try to make sure that you make it clear that this is not necessarily like your experience, but it's your view from a male point of view? Like, do you get what I mean? Like, it's kind of like, for example, guys trying to explain what it feels like to be a woman. You get, rather than
this is my experience as a guy, but I feel you guys.
Do you get?
No. I try not to. So most of my shows on the radio are centered around sexual violence, also around politics. I also talk conversations generally about Nigeria. I weigh in on like the basic things that women experience. I co-host a radio doctor show sometimes, where, you know, we talk about women's health, and I just try to ask questions and get other women to ask questions from the doctor. So if it's that the case of, I'm trying to say, oh, this is what women go through. No, I wouldn't say that this is what women go through. I would rather say, oh, based on research, these are the kind of things that women go through. And I always make sure that I have somebody who is strength in that field to be able to back those figures up. when I'm talking about them. So I try to make sure I have a guest who is a woman to speak about that industry properly. Like on Thursday last week, Thursday or Friday, Wednesday specifically, I was talking about the effect of the economy on women-led businesses. So one of the questions I put out to the guest is, I've had someone on my show who said, when you're the only woman in the room, don't feel comfortable until another woman is in that room. So how can we make that happen for other women? So I'm asking questions to drive answers from the individual who is a woman to speak about women issues.
Okay, that's fair. That makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
Kind of going back to like when we talked about Daddy Freeze. I don't know if you know, like I think it was 2019 that someone called him out or something like that, saying that he charges people over 100K to play their music on radio.
Oh,
and everything.
That question.
Payola, you know, if we're talking about Nigerian radio, I don't think you can really leave Payola out of the conversation. So like, just to explain to people that might not understand, there's a culture of OAPs collecting radio
money
OAPs collecting
music.
Money to play music from like a lot of times
I
it's like
there's
smaller
a lot of misinterpretation
musicians.
Of that.
Oh, okay, that's what Daddy Free said too. He said,
yes,
oh no, no,
there's a lot of misinterpretation of that.
Okay,
so
explain.
For example, right, if I don't collect money to play music from an artist, what I would tell them is, send me your song to my mail. If I like it, I will play it, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you feel like you want to promote your song on the radio, there are channels you can go through on the radio, through the marketing or through, some people have like a traffic team that you can talk to, and then they will tell you, for you to promote your song, this is how much it would cost you to promote your song on radio. But for your song to be played on radio, it costs you nothing to have your song played on radio. All you have to do is send your song to the radio station. If they like it, they will play it. It's just the same way that some OAPs would decide not to play a particular popular artist's music.
Mm.
Some radio hosts do that. They will tell you, I don't like this artist, I don't play his songs. And they won't play the songs while they are on air. If they are on air for 2 hours, all the songs they will play within that 2 hours, none of that big artist, like quote unquote, of that big artist song will be played on that time while they're on the radio, because they have the control over the music because they're sitting in front of the console, right? But some other places, the radio host doesn't have control over the music. Somebody else logs in that songs. Maybe like they have like a librarian that logs in the music for them, and they can't interfere with that music. So they play whatever it is that is available. But if you want to promote your song on radio, it costs money to promote song, because when you say you are promoting your song, it means you are mandating the radio house or the person to play that song based on the agreement you have had. If you're saying, I want you to play my song every day for the next 2 weeks while you're on air, between this time and this time, it's not going to be free, because that time you're putting the person under a compulsory action to say,
mm-hmm,
whatever selections they are making every day, your song must be part of that selection. It's a must. You can't just tell me it's a must with mouths.
Mm-hmm. Why can't it just be a system where, like, you know, you send in the music and then if they like it, they play it? As compared to, like, by the time you're, like, forcing them to play it on the radio. Because you said there's channels you can go through, because, like, if it's an advertisement, right,
mm-hmm,
you should be able to go through the proper channels to, like, promote it.
Mm-hmm. Promote
but
your
a
arts.
Lot of times it's not the proper channels. Like, a lot
for
of times
music.
The station is not even aware that this is going on. You are paying
that
the OAP.
Collects money.
Exactly. Mm. It's the OAP you are paying, not the station. So, therefore,
yes,
it's under the table. It's not, like, the way I think you explained it is such a clean way where that's not really what's happening. Do you get it?
Okay, so basically ads are more expensive. Ads are expensive to run on radio stations, right? And
yeah,
if you want to run it like that, it will cost the fast upcoming artist a lot more money, you know, to run that their song through the right channel, which is supposed to be available. So I think what we might say might be a proper solution is if media houses are going to create a template for music promotion, which I think most media houses have. They have a template for promotion of music. Now, that's one. So two is, I'm thinking why a lot of artists would walk directly to the on-air person, to the radio host or to the radio producer to play their song, is because that person has the monopoly of choosing what song to be played on radio at time. That person has the monopoly of saying, I want to play this song. Nobody's going to hold me. I want to play Davido. I want to play Wizkid. I want to play an upcoming artist's song. Nobody's going to hold them for doing that, as long as the song is clean and it can go on the radio, right? So if for them it pays them, if okay, instead of going to pay this huge amount of money and they are just scheduling it as an ad, what if this OAP, I give this OAP something and he plays my song, he talks about my song a little bit, and that's it.
I see why it's pretty much like it's a service and everything, but it just feels very sketchy when it's like under the table. Because I guess like if we're going through proper channels, okay, we understand, okay, yeah, we're promoting the music, but it's just making a system where it's hard for smaller people to be discovered, like people that actually just have good music.
Good music.
Yeah.
But the truth is, if you have good music, because I play a lot of
but that's you.
Artists.
Yeah.
Let me use myself as an example now. Mm-hmm. So for me, for instance, there are a lot of artists that they told me, oh, they have great songs. I'm like, okay, I'll drop my email for them. And I say, send me your song. And if I like it, I'll play it. And when I play it, I can make a video for you to see that, oh, your song was really nice. And I played it. And that's it. But you can't mandate me to say, ah, Baba, you never play my song today.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that to me because I have already listened to your song and I like it. And there are a couple of artists like that that, you know, their songs are so nice and I play them so often and they've heard it a couple of times and they're like, oh, this guy, like, there's a lady I'm playing a song right now. I don't know if it would be free publicity for her. R&B Princess, you know, her songs are really great. And every time she sends me an email, I listen to her song and I'm like, oh, this is cool. And I like it. I play it. There are a couple of other artists across different social platforms that have reached out. If I like your song, anytime I remember the song, I'll play it.
I guess it's not that way for a lot. I think the reason anyways a lot of people complain is because it's not that way for all OAPs. Like some OAPs only play the songs of people that they've actually paid.
It's not that won't be true.
It's not possible. No, it's not possible, or like just a bulk song of it. And like, okay, so for example, if there's an artist that already has money, whether his song is good or is not good, they've paid all the radio stations. And that's all people we hear over and people over and over and over and over. It just, it makes it seem so biased.
From the way you say it, it definitely sounds bad. But I think it's very good for an artist. I tell a lot of people that before I even say, oh, if you want to, for example, run a promotion, and I'll be like, let me listen to the song first. If the song is good, I'll be like, okay, I think it's a good song. I can play it on my show. Because if the song is not good, I don't want to be a case of, and that's what I think there's the part a lot of radio hosts have missed it, where even if the song is not good, because there is money involved, they still take the money
exactly.
And then they want to play the song.
Yeah.
So if the song is not good, because I personally want to play a song that I would talk about, or I would feel comfortable that would fit into the mix or the playlist that I have for my day already, or what I want my people to listen to. If it's not going to fit into that mix, I'll be like, oh, Baba, no vex. I beg, I don't get the time to play your song. I'm very, very busy. I just make up an excuse so that I would not do it. Because they feel like because they want to give you money, you should be able to play whatever song they give to you.
So if Daniel has told you he's too busy.
understand.
So, and some I tell them that, yo, your song is not radio friendly. It won't work this way. I don't
what
have the time
to. What does
that
mean?
As in too much swear words?
No, apart from being too much swear word, if the content of the song is too sexualized,
like, oh, I see.
It can't be played
cult,
on the radio.
Like, remember?
Really?
Yeah. If the song has a lot of cultism and any other of this.
Oh my God, how did you feel about that Odunsi thing?
Oh, is it Odunsi or Rikasani?
Rick Asani? What did Rick Asani do?
Rick Asani is not...
No, that Thunder Fire, you... It's not that song.
That's a bad song.
That one cost... Hey, mad in Nigeria.
Yeah, they took it off radio. They took it off radio.
What?
NBC put a ban on it.
What? No way!
Yeah,
I'm joking now.
I don't understand.
I feel what passes the threshold in Nigeria is very, the bar is low. Like,
it's
high.
More random
like,
than anything.
I'm not very sure of this one. I'm not very sure, but I heard that one of the reasons, and it's from a very reliable source, that one of the reasons Joe Boy changed the song Alcohol to Sip was because of he was getting signals that NBC was going to put a ban on the song.
But people do be drinking alcohol, though. So I don't know. Like, the country just seems a little hypocritical. Yeah, I don't know.
But you know that radio, you can't really predict who is listening. A child could be listening to the radio at that time. Radio has a way of controlling, has a censorship. So if you listen to radio, even when they play like all these foreign artists, they have to play the clean version. The ones where the F words, the booty, all of these things have been cleaned off it. even Nigerian songs too, you have to clean them. And that's the thing Nigerian artists don't, they don't prepare clean versions. Maybe, you know, some artists are understanding that if you're making songs for radio, you have to produce a clean version of it. Olamide did that with his last album. He put out a clean version for radio stations where they can play the ones that has already been cleaned by the management. If not, then the radio host has to be the one, or the radio librarian has to be the one to clean the songs themselves.
Oh, damn, that happens.
Yes. Ooh. Like, there's some songs that are really good, and because there's no radio version and you want to play them on radio, you have to get to, like, you know, pause all those places where that can't go on air. Like this guy's song, Fireboy, I'm a champion. I'm a motherfucking champion.
Oh, they have to clean that up.
They have to clean the motherfucking.
Mad. How do Naira Marley songs get played then?
They don't play. I don't think they play Naira Marley songs on radio. Okay. I don't play Naira Marley songs on radio. But I don't think if any other radio stations wants to play it, they will clean it so well that you will not enjoy the song.
Yeah, like, how do you even clean up his songs?
It's you listen, I don't be hearing a lot of. You just beep, beep, beep,
yeah,
beep,
beep. Once, there's just like, no point.
Don't bother play the song.
Yeah. It's Nigeria, sure. But I feel like, I don't think it's Nigeria. I think swear words generally on radio,
on radio is not allowed. Yeah.
But I mean, Thunder Fire, he was just joking. Like, it wasn't like.
He was just joking.
He was. Like, I think
well,
he
it's
was.
It's an insult. It's an insult. It tells on Thunder Fire you now. It's an
but
insult.
But everyone says, like, even kids say Thunder Fire you. Do you get what I mean?
They're not supposed to say it.
Really? Okay.
No, they're not supposed to say Thunder Fire.
So Thunder Fire is a swear word. I'm learning this. I learn new things every day because I really.
Do they censor out Waka too? Do people use to say Waka? Oh my God. Okay, interesting. Good to know. But I guess I'd like to wrap this up by just asking if you have like any advice for like up and coming OAPs or people that are aspiring to it. Mm. What really would be like an all encapsulating advice that you would give?
I think there is a learning process to it. There is a time to earn and there's also a time to learn. If you're going to go into radio right now or media or anything at all, you have to take your eyes off earning. You have to put your eyes on learning. Because learning in the media...
I don't like the sound of that.
Learning in the media doesn't happen in a scripted format, right? Okay. You would not learn like you're in a classroom. There are days when you just learn by looking. There are things that I know today that I know them just by sitting around a radio host and just listening to conversations from them, and I picked it up. So a lot of the times, the learning environment will differ or the learning experiences will differ for you. And if you put your mind on earning first, you might miss the point. You would need to learn and grow and spend time also studying and listening to other people. I learn by listening. I'm a radio host right now. For me to get better as a radio personality, I learn by listening to other radio personalities and learn from what the ones that I think I align with, their opinions and their thoughts and how they do their things. I align with them like that. And I try to work myself with them. So if you are coming in right now, focus on learning. Try to get a certification, no matter how basic is it. If it's a 1 month, 3 month basic certification, it's good because I think those certifications sort of help you to have like an overall view of what you're coming into. So get one, focus on learning, record consistently. That can never be out. Like, the more you record, the better you become. I didn't sound this way like 3-5 years ago. The more you record, the more you listen to. Don't be afraid to listen to yourself. I wonder when I hear people say they don't like to listen to themselves. So I go back
don't
to recordings.
Get that.
I go back to my old recordings and listen to it. I want to learn from my own recordings and hear my mistakes or hear the things I said right and repeat the things I said right again in another show or replicate it in another show. And the things I did not say right, make sure I don't say them in another show. So record yourself more often. Don't be afraid to take opportunities. Like I did, I reached out to you guys and I didn't know it was possible to do that until somebody reached out to me. And I was like, okay, I've been looking for other speaking engagement platforms.
Putting yourself out there, pretty much.
Putting myself out there. Mm-hmm. Yes, put yourself out there. Don't be like me. Put yourself out there.
I mean, but you're learning, so that's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Daniel, for coming on. This was really fun. I feel like you are a connect. So if I ever come back and I want to be an OAP, I'm a connect. Okay.
I don't know how long I'll be doing this for, but then
really, Oh yeah, Daniel said he wants to jackpot. Please listen, don't be like, what's that guy that they said he just jackpot without telling? The guy on Men's Club, Ayola.
Oh, Ayola.
Yeah. One day you just not show up to your show.
My radio. No, I wouldn't do that. Yeah. I would definitely want to. I like ceremonies. I like the traditional way of coming in and leaving a place. So I would want to make sure that if I'm leaving a place, I want to leave the appropriate way.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's good.
Yeah, thank you so much, Daniel, for coming on and having this conversation with us.
Shout out to you guys for having me, man. Oh, I really appreciate you. Thank you for the good work you guys. I listened to a few other episodes before it was my turn, just to see how I can get involved. And you guys are very welcoming. You made me feel at home. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you everyone for listening. Don't forget to like wherever you listen to, share, leave us a review. That's how people get to hear about us. And also, in December, we're planning on doing an episode where we just read like listener letters, like anything you guys want to know or
questions, comments, dilemmas.
Yeah, question, comments. It doesn't even have to, you don't have to tell us your life story. You can just let us know.
You can if you want to though.
Yeah, we're amiibos. We like that. we like that kind of thing. So if you have any problems, we can answer it. But if you just want to, like, just let us know that we're doing a good job, or let us know, like, if we've had any impact on, like, your life, even if it's in the tiniest way, we want to do a full episode where we just read listener letters. So if you can, or if you want to, you can go to our website. It's africalypsopodcast.com. And then at the top of the screen, you should see contact, and then you can leave us an email pretty much. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, you don't even have to write your real name. You can just write anything. You don't have to leave an email address. We don't have to track you pretty much. So like, you can stay anonymous if you want to. Actually, you do have to put an email. Wahala. Okay, so you have to put an email, but do we know you? We don't know you. If you want to stay anonymous, you can also
you can hit us up from a burner account, like social media account.
Yeah, you can do, but that's a lot of work, isn't it?
You know what, we will keep you anonymous though. So
I think we definitely have Curious Cats.
Okay,
remember when that used to be a thing?
Yeah, I remember. Oh god, it was so Dimata, do you ever have a Curious Cat?
I did, but it was stupid questions they used to ask me.
You did? Oh my god, you participated.
You Jesus. Didn't did you
I didn't no I've always been slow to this game.
So we have Curious Cats. You can leave a question or a comment at curiouscat.qa/africalypsopod. Again, curiouscat.qa/africalypsopod. We'll leave all this information on our social media, but we really want to hear from our community, because without that, we don't actually know who's listening. And we just want to compile all of that into a Christmas episode. So please be sure to reach out to us before then. And yeah, we'll catch you guys next week with an Amiibo interlude. Bye.
Peace out.